Well, I know how it feels, but there was a vicar who was struggling to prepare a particular sermon, had a very busy week, didn't quite know what he was going to say, and thought to himself, do you know what? Perhaps the Holy Spirit will just tell me what to say on Sunday morning when I get up into the pulpit. So I'll leave it at then. So he shelved the sermon, decided not to do any work on it at all, and carried on with all the other things that he had to do. Anyway, Sunday morning duly came, and the vicar climbed the steps to the pulpit and stood silently before his congregation. He turned to the Holy Spirit for guidance. Holy Spirit, he inquired, what shall I tell the people? Without a moment's hesitation, a booming voice came from heaven and said, tell them you're unprepared. You see, preparation is very important. Back when I worked for the Church Pastoral Aid Society, we produced a book of drama sketches, and I contributed to that. And the editor wrote an introduction, and as part of his introduction, he wrote a sort of a 10 top tips for producing drama in church. And the first five of those simply said, rehearse. Okay, verses, tips 1 to 5, rehearse, 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 rehearse. Preparation is everything. I can't emphasise enough the importance and the reality of knowing that Jesus is going to return and the need that there is for us to prepare for that. If we're going to get the big picture of the Bible, if we're going to understand that, then we need to wake up that it's not all in the past. The reality is it's not all in the past. It's not all just some historical book from 2,000 years ago. It's all been and done and is dusted. But actually it's ongoing and Jesus is going to return. So we're kind of coming to the sort of what's in the future section now of our Bible overview. Now, don't want to frighten you here, but in about a month's time, it's going to be Advent. Okay, sorry about that. But you know, in our homes, actually it's a lovely time, isn't it? Advent's a lovely time. We use it to prepare for Christmas Day. Writing cards, buying presents, decorating, getting all the food sorted. But more importantly than any of that, it's a time for us to prepare for Jesus' coming. And that's because in Advent we do two things. We look back to Jesus coming amongst us in Bethlehem and living amongst us as a man. And we look ahead to Jesus' return in glory. And that's where our reading from Matthew 24 today comes in. So what happened is that one day Jesus' disciples asked him, what would be the signs of the end of this world and of his imminent return? How can we know when God is going to bring justice and freedom for his people? So Jesus gave them some indications of what God's people to expect to happen. There'll be deceivers and imposters claiming to be Christ. There'll be great upheavals. There'll be disasters in the world. And there will be dreadful and terrible persecution of Christians. But when it comes to his return, and our verses for this morning, Jesus gives us a bit of surprise news. No one, he declares, knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Isn't that reassuring? It should be, shouldn't it? You know, because sometimes as a Christian, people ask us a question, we don't know the answer. We kind of go away and we have a chat with another Christian or have a look in a book or something and we go back to them. But actually, if we get asked a question we don't know the answer, we're in great company because Jesus said, look, I don't know the answer to your question. I don't know the day or the hour. There are some things that are too deep or too problematic for us. And that's the case with the day when Jesus will return because lots of people have sat down and tried to work out the date, haven't they? Sorry, hang on. Jesus says here no one knows the date here, not even him. Only the Father knows the date. Pointless activity to try and work out the date. It's only going to cause stress and anxiety and get false sort of hopes up and trying to work it all out. No. It's not good for us to know the actual date. But although we don't know the day or the hour when Christ will return in power and great glory, verse 30, when the people of earth will be judged and the faithful saved, we do know, verse 31, that he will return. So we can do something about it. In the meantime, we can make sure that we and as many people as we know are amongst that group of people that when Jesus does return are called to be with him forever because we are properly prepared. My last church was dedicated to St. Andrew. But the thing is, we don't actually know very much about St. Andrew. Here's what we know. I looked up what his name meant. It means manly, which is obviously why they appointed me as vicar there. Good, pause for laughter, right? Yeah, okay. But actually, he did do a very manly thing. He rescued his brother. He saved his brother from the coming wrath of God against sin. See, Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist. And one day, John the Baptist introduces Jesus to Andrew as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And Andrew goes and finds out more about who Jesus is and introduces his brother to him. His brother who is called Simon. That's all we know about Andrew. That's it. But we know an awful lot more about Simon because Jesus changed his name to Peter, which means rock. And he said, on this rock I'm going to build my church. And Peter was a fallible disciple. He's the one that sank when he tried to walk on water with Jesus. He denied knowing Jesus 3 times. But actually, you know, he wrote in the Bible. He was a great evangelist. He was a great leader of the early church. Peter was saved from God's wrath against sin because Andrew introduced him to Jesus. Andrew had the right idea. He didn't want his brother to miss out on the greatest opportunity in life, knowing Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. But here's the rub. Jesus reminds us in our gospel reading that there will be those who miss out because they don't know him. That should fill us with great sadness. There will be 2 men working in a field, 2 women grinding flour. Update it, 2 men at a football match, 2 women in a business meeting. 1 will be gathered into Jesus' eternal glorious presence because they're prepared, but the other will be left behind. In verse 37, Jesus says, it'll be just like it was in the days of Noah, when people failed to listen to God and live in a way which honoured them. See, people in those days knew that God's judgment was coming. Yeah, we had torrential rain this morning. Imagine if it had been raining and raining like that for ages. Imagine if it hadn't been raining like that for ages. Imagine if it had actually been parched for ages. Imagine we lived in a desert and someone built a blooming great boat. You can imagine someone building a ship in Badby. I mean, we're about as far from the sea as you can get in this country, aren't we? Almost. This Leamington Spa is the furthest you can get from the sea in England. Imagine building a big ship. You'd be kind of going, what? And you'd be telling them, look, this is because God said he's going to make it rain like it did this morning, but for 40 days it's going to be dreadful, it's going to flood the earth, it's going to cleanse the earth. God's judgment is coming. Duh! Mad old fool, said everyone in Noah's day, and people would say these days. God was irrelevant to them in these kind of modern and enlightened times that they lived in. God was simply there for the simple-minded. And anyway, if God did exist, he wouldn't care about how we lived our lives, what we did. But God's justice and his judgment were coming, verse 38. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. They knew nothing about it because they hadn't prepared. They knew nothing because they didn't want to know anything. Jesus says in verse 39, that's how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. People will have heard, but will have chosen to ignore the warnings. It'll be as if they knew nothing. But how awful if we've not given them at least that choice. I mean, we don't want them to choose to ignore the fact that Jesus is coming back. We want them to accept that, to embrace it, and to be prepared. But how awful if we've not actually even given them that choice when we know about it. We need to be getting ourselves prepared and trying our best to introduce our friends, our families, our neighbours to Jesus so they have the opportunity to be prepared as well. Jesus' promises are all true and he's promised to come back. So we need to be prepared. How can we do that? How can we be like Andrew? Well, on the one hand, we need to be committing ourselves to being Jesus' disciples. Following him, learning from him, opening God's word, reading and applying it to our lives, asking God's Holy Spirit to draw us ever closer to God, making us more like Jesus day by day. And then we need to seize all those wonderful opportunities to introduce people that we know to Jesus. What sort of wonderful opportunities, I hear you ask? Well, look, I'm hoping after Christmas, sort of January, February time, to run something called Hope Explored. It's just 3 weeks, 3 evenings. It's a bit like Christianity Explored, but condensed into 3. It'd be nice to do it maybe down at the village hall. It'd be nice to maybe even do a meal with it like we do with Christianity Explored. Except throwing that out, seeing if people kind of grab hold of it. You know, and we introduce people. People come along, they have a meal, we sort of chat with it. And then we introduce them to Jesus and give them an opportunity to say, actually, do you know what, I'd like to know more about that. That's kind of got me interested. I've never thought of Jesus like that before. I've never thought about that hope there is in him. So be thinking now who you could invite to that and bring. I'm going to go to this, it's going to be great, why don't you come with me? That's the key. Don't kind of go, oh yeah, that's going on. I'm going, it's going to be great, come with me. That's what we need to be saying to people. And even before that, I want to encourage you now. Now that you've kind of started, it's like, it's time now to be making your Christmas cake and your Christmas pudding if you've not done that. Okay, it's on my to-do list. Okay, because you need to be kind of getting ready for Advent, getting ready for Christmas. Get ready now for the Advent and Christmas services, which will be starting in about a month's time. Think about the things you can invite people to. You know, the concerts, the carol concerts, we're going to have Christmas carol here, the play. Things we can invite people to get them across that threshold into here. See, this is a really nice place that we're really quite nice, normal people. But then also hearing the good news of Jesus at those things as well. Think about who you can invite, because do you know what? People are so much more receptive to coming to church and hearing about Jesus at Christmas than they are at probably any other time of the year. So who are you going to bring? The preparation that we need to do for the return of Jesus, it's an ongoing preparation. It's not like just kind of baking your Christmas cake or writing Christmas cards, job done. It's about knowing Jesus as a real and living Saviour for ourselves, as our best friend, as our Lord, as our King, as the one who rescues us from God's wrath against sin. It's about living as his friends, his disciples, as his children. We might not all be Peters. Okay, we don't have to all be Peters, but we can be a little bit like Andrew. You know, how amazing was Andrew? We don't know. He just told his brother about Jesus. Maybe Andrew wasn't an amazing disciple. We don't know. But we know he brought Peter, Simon Peter's brother. We can't prepare for Jesus' return by marking a date in our diary, but as Dick France rightly says in his commentary on Matthew's Gospel, it is possible to prepare for the return of Christ not by calculating its date, but by a life of constant readiness and response to God's warnings and introductions. That's the sort of preparedness we need to embrace. God warns us about his coming judgment. We're going to be thinking about that next week. But he wants us to survive it. He wants us to be declared innocent. He wants us to be saved through Jesus, because as verse 44 puts it, you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. He might come before next week. He might come before Christmas. He might come before next Christmas. Let's make the most of the opportunities we have, when we have them, as soon as we have them. We know that Monday's coming tomorrow. We know that Christmas, God willing, is coming on December the 25th. But we don't know when Jesus will return. With that in mind, let's commit ourselves to putting as much time and energy into preparing for that event, which leads to eternity with God, as we'll put into preparing to celebrate Christmas Day one day out of 365, and we'll do it all again in 12 months' time. The Bible's big message is that God made everything perfect, that we then rebelled in sin, that God judges our sin, that he sent Jesus to die for us and to rise again to conquer death and to ascend to heaven. But one day Jesus will return in glory to judge us. In the meantime, the church exists to worship God, to encourage one another, and also to spread the essential good news of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, so that we're ready for when that happens. Let's pray that we may be prepared, and ask God to equip us, so that we may help others to also be prepared for Jesus' return. Amen.